I'm Peter B. Collins. Today, a special tribute to Riley B. King, the man who entertained millions worldwide and brought the blues as a form of expression, music, and cultural art form to an amazing audience that continues to grow today. B.B. King passed away yesterday at the age of 89. The thrill is really gone.
Thrill is gone. The thrill is gone away. The thrill is gone, baby. The thrill is gone away. You know you done me wrong, baby, and you'll be sorry someday.
My brother Tom first introduced me to the music of B.B. King as a teenager in Cincinnati.
It's gone away from me.
And just a few years later, I was hosting an all-night talk show in Chicago on WLS-FM. The studios were on the fourth floor of a building called the Stone Container Building at Michigan and Wacker in Chicago. And the first floor was a nightclub called the London House. And often before I went upstairs to work, I would pop into the London House and see who was performing. And I grabbed the final set of BB's show one night, and then got up the nerve to go over and ask him if he'd come upstairs and join me on the radio for a bit. Gracious as ever, he said yes. He arrived at the studio with his guitar under arm. Yes, B.B. King and Lucille spent 2.5 hours hanging with me on the late night radio show. When I met B.B. King for the first time back in 1973, this song had just been released. And it didn't quite climb the charts the way The Thrill Is Gone did. That was his biggest all-time pop hit. But this one hit about number 20 on the charts. And like The Thrill, it was pretty personal. B.B. King was successful in so many respects, but he failed at love.
My song is a serious matter. It reflects what I feel. If I say I love you, I mean it. 'Cause in my song, every line is for real. Every man on the moon.
B.B. King was married twice, both ended in divorce. But he was popular with the ladies, and he fathered 15 children by 15 different women.
Music is love, and my love is music, in perfect harmony.
B.B. King was born back in 1925 on a plantation outside the town of Indianola, Mississippi. And when he was 4, his mother left his father for another man, and he was raised by a maternal grandmother. And he grew up very poor, working in the fields. And he ultimately made it to Memphis, Tennessee, and later became a disc jockey on the famous station there, WDIA. And he used the nickname Beale Street Blues Boy. And that was later shortened to Blues Boy, and that's where the BB came from. And from the times that I was in the presence of B.B. King, I know that his friends simply call him B. But to me, he was Mr. King. And after that first encounter in the 1970s in Chicago, I saw him many times in concert. And today, in his honor, I'm wearing a slightly worn out and faded T-shirt from his 66th birthday celebration, which took place at the San Francisco Blues Festival. And in between, I saw him perform on a number of occasions. I've actually lost track, but it's more than a dozen times I got to see him in concert. And he also made a cameo appearance at my stepson's graduation from Brown University. I think it was in 2005. And B.B. was awarded an honorary degree, and they wouldn't let him bring out Lucille. But he did a couple of seconds or maybe a minute or two of the Thrill a cappella. And those encounters pale in comparison to the story I want to share with you about B.B. King and his generosity. I did a search online, and B.B. King performed more than 60 concerts in prisons. In Chicago, I knew he had performed at the Cook County Jail. He did an annual show at one of the real rough prisons in Mississippi. And in the 1980s, he agreed to perform a show inside the gates at San Quentin Prison here in Marin County, California. And it's ironic because I was away. I was out of town at a family reunion, and I wasn't able to attend that show. But that program, that concert at San Quentin, was recorded.
B.B. King and his band come all the way out here to entertain you guys here at San Quentin.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I bid you welcome and good afternoon. And now, I'd like to present to you Mr. B.B. King.
Live at San Quentin, won a Grammy Award. And in a few minutes, we'll be talking with the man who wrote the liner notes for the Live at San Quentin album. His name is Dennis Jones. Dennis was a prisoner at San Quentin who started the Freedom Foundation, which was a precursor to the Innocence Project that is well known today. And Dennis started the Freedom Foundation to help other inmates who had been falsely convicted and sent to prison. I've listened to this live recording many times, and it certainly captured B.B. King's performance, his style, and the generosity, the warmth that he brought to prison inmates that he never knew. In the early 1990s, I was hosting a daytime talk show on a major AM station in San Francisco, KNBR. And I can still remember this vividly, because during my first hour on a given day, I had my one and only one-on-one interview with Rush Limbaugh. Rush's show was airing in the morning on our station, and I was on in the afternoon, and, how different my politics are from Limbaugh. So it was a very bizarre hour that I spent with him. And I won't divert the attention from B.B. King to Limbaugh, but suffice it to say that it was a very strange encounter, and it was awkward for me because I had to be a team player for the radio station while still separating myself from the odious politics of Mr. Limbaugh. One thing that I will note is that Rush Limbaugh is a B.B. King fan. And when he found out that his segment would be followed immediately by a one-hour segment with B.B. King, he was impressed. For me, it was such a relief to end the session with Limbaugh and move into a great conversation with B.B. King. And he may have been a great actor, but B.B. King acted as if he remembered our late-night meeting in Chicago that had occurred almost 20 years before. So that was in the early 90s. In the mid-90s, my work at San Quentin expanded to include the effort to get a parole date and the release for Dennis Jones, the prisoner who had started the Freedom Foundation. And at the time, the politics of the parole board were getting worse and worse. Under Governor Wilson, Pete Wilson, the number of paroles granted had dropped sharply. And so we were facing, if you will, a gate that was closing tighter and tighter every year. And so we needed to raise money so that we could hire lawyers and investigators to help build the case for the release of Dennis Jones. And we thought about who might help us. And the first name that came to mind was B.B. King. And so we thought about, well, gosh, you know, you got to get to him personally. You got to be able to talk to B.B. King and ask him to do this benefit show. So I found out that he was the headliner on a bill of blues acts coming a month or so away at the Shoreline Amphitheater, which is located, well, it's next to the Google campus today, but Google didn't even exist at that time, of course. And so I traded a favor. I asked Herbie Herbert. Herbie had been the longtime manager of Journey, and then he started his own blues band called Cyclops. And so Herbie agreed to my request, and I posed as a roadie for the Cyclops band so that I could get backstage at the Shoreline Amphitheater. And I, you know, carried some guitars and moved some cables and did things that roadies do. And then when I got word that B.B. King's bus had arrived, I went over to the area where it was parked, and I knocked on the door, and the driver responded, and I said, I handed him my business card, said, I'd like to speak to Mr. King for a minute. They closed the door and went back and consulted with B.B. and came back and said, sure, come on in. And so when I approached his lounge area in the rear of the bus where he was sitting comfortably, I greeted him, and the first thing he said was, how is my friend Dennis Jones? And I was floored. Not only that he remembered Dennis and me, but the connection between us. And so I said, well, Mr. King, that's why I'm here. I said, Dennis Jones has been in prison for over 18 years, and he was only supposed to serve seven years, according to the initial sentence from the judge. And I said, I'm here to ask if you would do a benefit concert for Dennis Jones so that we can get him out of the California state prison system. And I expected, a hem or a haw or, gosh, I can't say, or gee, Peter, you know, I get a lot of requests. I wish I could do them all. But B.B. King didn't hesitate. He didn't flinch. He did not wait a moment. He said, I would be happy to do a benefit for Dennis Jones. And he handed me the business card of his manager, longtime manager Sid Seidenberg, and said, give me a couple of days to talk to Sid, and you call him up next week. He said, it'll take a while. Got to get on the schedule. But I'll do a concert. I'll do a benefit for Dennis Jones. And he was good to his word. The following spring, we staged a concert at the Paramount Theater in Oakland, and in the meantime, I asked Carlos Santana if he would perform on the same bill with B.B. King. I asked the slide guitar blues phenom Roy Rogers if he would open the show. Roy also, of course, produced great music for John Lee Hooker. And they all said yes. And that show raised over $60,000. That was the money that we used to hire lawyers and, most critically, an investigator who got information that was pivotal in winning the parole date for Dennis Jones. Joining me now is Dennis Jones, the man I met while he was held at San Quentin, and he is the man that B.B. King agreed to do the benefit concert for, and ultimately that concert and the funds that were raised were critical in winning the parole release of Dennis Jones more than 15 years ago from San Quentin prison. Dennis, thanks for joining us. It's a sad day to lose B.B. King, isn't it?
Sure is. the world's not as good a place today as it was yesterday with BB gun.
Yeah. And tell me, I explained to people about the incredible concert that occurred at San Quentin in the 1980s. I peg it about 1986, if I'm correct. And that's what resulted in the live recorded album, B.B. King Live at San Quentin. It earned a Grammy Award the following year. And B.B. selected you to write the liner notes for the album and paid you a fat fee for it.
Yeah, I actually made a donation to the Freedom Foundation for it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, B.B. Was quite a guy, no doubt about it. The concert was in 1986, yet the album actually was recorded by MCA Records live on the spot at the time of the concert, and then it didn't do anything. They put it in the can for a few years and didn't release the album. And then a few years later, B.B. went on tour with U2, and all of a sudden he had a whole new audience that didn't know who B.B. King was before that.
Mm-hmm.
So with his increased popularity with a new crowd, they released the album, B.B. King Live at San Quentin. And like you said, it won the Grammy for Best Traditional Blues Album.
And let's listen to a little bit of the music that he made with U2, since you mentioned that. This was on the Rattle and Hum CD. And it was a great vocal performance by B.B. King. And it's called When Love Comes to Town. Let's listen. Now, Dennis, I explained to the listeners that because I was away at a family reunion, I actually missed the performance, the live concert at San Quentin. So talk a little bit about what it took to get that show. It's not easy to produce a concert inside a prison. And I did a Google search, and it turns out that B.B. King, over his career, did more than 60 performances in prisons, ranging from the Cook County Jail to San Quentin to places all over the world. So how the heck did you get him to do that concert?
Well, you know, B.B. King was quite into prison reform at the time. And the Freedom Foundation, which was the entity we requested him to come in to help, B.B. didn't believe that if somebody was innocent that they should be in prison. And if there's anything he could do to help that cause, he was all for it. And the secondary, he wanted to have the guys have a good show. So we spent several months working out the details for this thing, because it's very complex getting a show into a prison setting, because you have to convince everybody from Sacramento all the way down to okay the thing. I mean, it takes like 20 signatures. Mm-hmm. And then everybody that comes in has to be cleared.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite a thing. And then B.B. King came in with two buses and a semi and, you know, just a ton of equipment. MCA Records had a truck full of equipment. And it's probably one of the more complex things that's ever been done in a prison setting.
And I wasn't there, but I know that you were able to connect with B.B., because when I later asked him to do the benefit concert for you, he had very warm feelings and recollections about you.
Yeah, actually, it was kind of ironic, because the day of the show at San Quentin, the San Francisco Chronicle put out a big article in the pink section about the concert at San Quentin, and BB's picture and my picture, and talking about the convict concert promoter in the prison, and the warden was kind of mad at me because he didn't like seeing any convicts get any kind of favorable publicity whatsoever. And the BB was quite warm. We had lunch together. We shared Kentucky Fried Chicken, and we talked, and, you know, I thanked him for coming in and doing the show for us, and he was a very cordial guy. And he said anything he could do to help anytime, and he meant it. He actually did several things for us over the years. He did a benefit concert for the Freedom Foundation at Paul Masson Vineyards,
mm-hmm.
and then the benefit concert for me, like you mentioned.
Right. And Dennis, I shared just before you joined us with the listeners my story of how, in order to get to talk to B.B. King, to ask him to do the benefit concert for you, I posed as a roadie for the Cyclops band, Herbie Herbert's group, and got backstage at Shoreline, went up, knocked on the door of the bus, and, you know, I'm a pretty, I'm not a shy guy, but I have to say I was nervous when I was doing that. And when I got into the back of the bus where he was getting ready to get dressed to go on stage, he greeted me so warmly, and the first thing he said was, "Peter, how is our friend Dennis Jones?" And I was just floored by that. And, you know, his generosity, and you know the routine. After every gig, B.B. King would hang around and make himself available. Any fan could approach and get in line and get a minute or two with B.B. King, get an album signed or get a picture taken. He was always very generous with everyone around him. And I would say that he was a friend to you and me, even though, you know, we were not close to him and never, you know, got to be, you know, a social friend of B.B. King. But he really considered so many people his friends and people he was willing to do, you know, great things for. And so when I asked him to do the benefit concert for Dennis Jones, he didn't hesitate or pause or hem or haw or come up with the usual excuses you could imagine. He just said, "Sure."
Yeah, you know, Peter, one of my favorite treasures is the video that you filmed of the benefit concert. And backstage, after the show, of course, I didn't get to go to the show because I was in prison. But after the show, he looked into the camera and said, "I love you, Dennis."
Yeah.
And that really made me feel good.
Yeah. So, you know, doing that, as I mentioned earlier to our listeners, we raised almost $70,000. It paid for the lawyers and, most critically, the ACE investigator, Barry Simon, who was able to collect all kinds of information, including getting a statement from the original district attorney who had prosecuted your case, deploring that you were still in state prison. And I think today, for the first time, Dennis, I'll share the behind-the-scenes story, that the other pivotal person was a man named Dennis McQuaid, who was a friend of the governor's, of Pete Wilson, and Dennis is a Republican. And we showed him the results of the investigator's work, including that statement from the district attorney. And Dennis, you know, wrote a check for $1,000 so he could attend a fundraiser for Governor Wilson and get a few minutes with him. And we don't know exactly. I wasn't there. All I know is that a week later, when your parole hearing was held, we know that a fax message was sent from the governor's office to members of the parole board, and that you won your release after, what, six previous attempts that were unsuccessful?
No, I think more like 12.
Was it 12?
12 or 13, a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
And, of course, none of that would have happened without the generous support of B.B. King. And I know how grateful I am. How would you describe what it means to you?
Oh, it's unbelievable. If it wasn't for B.B. King, I might still be sitting in prison today. You know, one of the hardest things to prove is an unjust incarceration. And if you don't have the money to fight something like that, and you don't have a legal team and investigative team to prove it, you're up a creek without a paddle. So I owe everything to B.B. King.
I'm going to post some photographs with the show file for this podcast. There's a picture of Dennis Jones sporting the Prison Blues T-shirt that we produced and sold at the concert. That was on February 7th of 1997. And a picture of you in the yard at San Quentin with B.B. King. And then a picture after you were released from prison. I remember going with you to B.B.'s Blues Club in Universal City, City Walk in Los Angeles, where we took in a show, he dedicated a song to you, and then we got to spend a little time with him afterward.
Yeah, it was great.
And so, Dennis, what else would you like to say about B.B. King? Many stories will be told, and I think yours is one that is a real critical one that probably won't be published in Rolling Stone or the New York Times, but I'm happy to share it with my listeners because it is a very personal gift that B.B. King gave to you.
Yeah, you know, I think that probably what I'd like to mention is the show of B.B.'s after I got out of prison. He invited us down to B.B. King's House of Blues and Universal City Walk, as you said, and B.B. as I'm meeting with him in his dressing room before the show, B.B. was so excited to see me. He invited me to come see him at any show, any time, any place. As a matter of fact, I took him up on it and probably went to six of his concerts after I was released from prison. But he said, "You know what? I just released a new album, and one of the songs on the album is called 'I Will Survive.'" He said, "I'm going to dedicate that to you tonight because you're a survivor." B.B. King was quite a guy.
Yeah, he sure was. Well, Dennis Jones, his life is now complete, and you got an extension on your life as a gift from B.B. King.
Isn't that the truth?
And as you know, in the final verse of The Thrill Is Gone, B.B. King sings, "Now that it's all over, all I can do is wish you well."
Isn't that great?
Dennis, thanks for being with me today.
Thank you, Peter. It's my pleasure.
Tom Lipinski is a talented music producer who produced shows for the Bread and Roses group. He worked for many years as the producer every summer at the music series at the Paul Masson Mountain Winery. For years and years, he was the producer of a local event of great note here in San Francisco called the Bay Area Music Awards, the BAMMIES. And he's a longtime friend of mine and Dennis Jones. Tom, thanks for being with us today to remember B.B. King. Tell us a little bit about how you got to know B.B. and how you persuaded him to do the show at San Quentin.
Well, the first time I worked with B.B. was in 1980. I was working on the Bread and Roses Festival of Music, which was a three-day situation. And he agreed to perform on that Saturday, and we arranged for Joni Mitchell to perform with him during his set.
Cool.
It was interestingly enough that the MC for that show was Robin Williams.
Oh my!
And it was quite an event. I've been going back on some of my information and catching up with some pictures and things. There's a great photo of Robin Williams and Neil Young standing behind the speakers as BB's entering the stage, and they look like two little kids in awe.
Wow.
So they performed, and the pictures of Joni and BB playing together are all around the place. That was my first situation with him. Then I started working at the Paul Masson Mountain Winery in 82, mm-hmm. and I was fortunate enough I lived in Marin County, and the winery is down in the South Bay, Saratoga, mm-hmm. and it was just too far for me to drive all the time. So they allowed me to stay in Paul Masson's chateau, and he had a knotty pine cottage that he built while he was building the chateau. He had a mansion down in San Jose, but this was his place on top of the hill to get away for summer.
Mm-hmm.
And we offered the winery agreed to this. They offered the headliners an opportunity to stay on the property, and then the band members would go downtown and hang out in Los Gatos and hit the bars and things, you know?
All right.
And so my first times with B.B., I had an opportunity. He and I were the only two people up on the property during the day. There were a lot of people there at night, but during the day, he and I just got together and talked a lot. And I think it was in the second time that he came up. That might have been in like 84 or so. And then he came up another time. We talked some more, and I told him about the Freedom Foundation in San Quentin.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him if he'd be interested in performing there. And he says, "Yeah, it sounds great." So what we decided to do was book him back the next year. He was in there he was doing like three shows in a row, 3 days in a row. So we booked him in for a Friday night, a Saturday night, and a Sunday night. And we made arrangements, he and I, to have him come into the prison on the Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So he had plans, you know, we set up all the plans for that to happen, and he did do that. I mean, it was the guy worked a lot. He played all the time. So he was in San Quentin in the hot sun in the Sunday afternoon playing, and then he had to load back onto the bus and drive back to the winery to perform that night.
Wow.
But
yeah,
he was just a fabulous guy.
I saw that his peak year, he performed 342 shows in 365 days.
Yeah, that was in 56 or so. But even when he got older, he was still playing 200 to 300 shows a year.
Yeah, yeah. He was
just loved playing.
Phenomenal. And at every stop, Tom.
I'm sorry?
I was going to say, at every stop, he would make time for the fans. And, you know, he was much more accessible than almost any artist of his stature I can think of.
Yeah, definitely. He always put all his energy into every show. He never slacked off at all. He was right into it, right with the audience, right with the performance. Every time that I played with him, and it must have been about 12 or 15 times, you know, concerts up at the winery.
Mm-hmm.
He always had that same level of intensity.
And talk a little bit about your personal interactions, because everyone I know has remarked on his warmth and his generosity, and that he was never playing a star. He was just a person who related to the person sitting next to him as a peer in many cases.
He was just right on. I remember sitting in his in the chateau in the master suite where he was staying then, and we just talked for hours. We talked about a variety of things. And in the interim, his daughter, who was in France, called, and he talked to her for a while. And he was just so approachable. And he was really one of the most generous people I ever met. Whenever I talked to him about doing something, I didn't have to get into a whole thing about it. He just understood and agreed to do it. You know, he was wonderful.
Yeah, and I've told the story about how when I asked him to do the benefit for Dennis Jones, he didn't hesitate in any way. It was simply an issue of how long it would take to get on his schedule. And he kept his word, and as you know, that was so critical in the process of getting Dennis Jones out of San Quentin prison.
Yeah, exactly. And he was so well-liked that, you know, it wasn't much of a sell to get Carlos Santana to come in and sit in, you know?
You bet, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Tom, thanks for sharing your memories, and I think we all are better for having known B.B. King and being enriched by the music that he gave us over so many years.
Exactly. I was watching a piece this morning, and it was him, Eric Clapton, Robert Cray, and Jimmy Vaughn playing, and he played, then they played, and there was a marked difference. I mean, Eric Clapton's a monster, but BB was just all over that song. He was playing The Thrill Is Gone. And then at the end of the performance, 10 other guitarists came out to join in with them, you know. It was like they were like children playing next to him, and they were kind of in awe of him as well.
Today on Facebook, rock guitarist Eric Clapton posted a video farewell to B.B. King, where with considerable humility, Eric Clapton thanked B.B. King for teaching him the blues guitar. It's the title song of a great CD, a collaboration between Eric Clapton and B.B. King, called Riding with the King. Well, that's our tribute for Riley B. King. He touched me in ways that I will never forget. And he said yes when I asked him to help get Dennis Jones out of San Quentin prison. Thanks for all the thrills, B.B. King. I'm gonna miss you. And I wish you well. All right, Tom.
Yeah.
I got you.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you going to question me, or do you want me to just talk, or what?
No, I'll set you up here. Let me explain. I opened the podcast by telling my story, and I first met BB in Chicago in the 70s. And I talked about, I had him on KNBR in the early 90s. And I talked about going to Shoreline to ask him to do the benefit for Dennis.
Uh-huh.
And I've talked about, after Dennis got out, we went to see him. Then Dennis comes in and talks about his own history, about the concert and the recording at San Quentin.
Oh, okay. So I don't need to talk about that then.
You're welcome to mention it because he mentions you. Dennis talked about you in reference to the San Quentin show and the Paul Masson shows.
Right. I worked with him at the Bread and Roses, where we had Joni Mitchell come on and play with BB.
Mm-hmm.
and I, at the winery. It was not multiple times, and but the way we got into San Quentin was he and I living, staying up on the winery, the only two people up there for 3 days in a row. Mm-hmm. His band was downtown. I could tell you the whole thing.
Good, good. That's great.
And that's how we got the gig, which is me sitting with him. We never even talked to Sid about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
And then we actually usually we try to not have people back every year. But I talked to Bruce, and I said, let's bring him back. And BB and I talked about going to San Quentin. I said, well, let's book you next year, next summer, and we'll do it in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did.
Very cool.
We booked him in for 3 days and then had him play Sunday. Mm-hmm. Now, did he do two shows that day? I saw a press release in my paperwork, I think it was from Dennis, that said there was two shows.
Well... You know, Tom, this is one of the big deficits for me. I was not there that day. I was attending a family reunion somewhere. And
okay.
So I only know about the show secondhand and from the recording.
Okay.
But
I got a press release, and it says immediate release. And it's on the Freedom Foundation stationery with the broken chains.
Right.
And it said that, and this is Dennison. He said, for more information, contact me. He gave him my phone number out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, which fine. But he said two performances, 9 a.m. and 12:30. I don't think so.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll just talk about the performance there.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm sure there weren't two shows. Let me see. The two performances on Sunday are scheduled for, yeah. Anyway, we'll just talk about it.
All right. Hold on. Stand by. Tom, that was an excellent way to end because I'm going to edit it in where I come right back playing Eric Clapton and BB Riding with the King and talk about Eric posted a video that was very touching. So
today?
Yeah, it's up on Facebook. I don't know how to share it if you're not on Facebook, but
I'm not, but okay.
It's probably at YouTube. If you do a search of Clapton and BB King, you'll probably find it.
Yeah, I'll just go to Google. I'll just Google it, and it'll probably show up.
Yeah. Well, thanks
I
for this.
I heard that Eric was trying to get to see him, and then there was all that problems about his manager not allowing people in.
Right. Yeah. No, Dennis was making an attempt too, but once he saw that the family was fighting, he said, well, I'm not going to get past any of that.
Yeah, if the family's not getting in, Dennis isn't coming in, yeah.
Right, yeah. Okay, I'm going to ring off and finish this up and post it, so it'll be online in about half an hour.
All righty.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
Okay, Peter, take care.
Yep, talk to you soon.
All right, buddy.
Bye.